Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Did Sunday's home loss to the Green Bay Packers ruin the Bears' season? And what was the worst thing about it?
Yeah, it kind of ruined the season. Here's the worst thing about it. The worst thing about it is it exposes this big lie that they're anything other than a 3-6 team, 3-5 at the time they came into the game, okay? I mean, we can get into the specifics of it. I thought the penalties were ridiculous. I thought the fact that they spent the game in 3rd-14, 3rd-15, 3rd-12, they were taking sacks. They were making dumb penalties. They converted, one of those long downs, a 3rd-9, I think, and that's nice to see. They had a field goal after a couple of those long third downs. But once you get off schedule when you're dealing with a young quarterback like that, you got very little hope. And I think the other element of this thing is that without a blocking tight end, they really struggled to run on the outside. They really had a hard time running the ball the way they usually do because they really need a tight end that can block. And guess what? Adam Shaheen can't do that. So I think the worst thing about the game, it really stopped your season because it exposed the big lie. That's the worst thing. The big lie is that the Bears have won one game in the conference, okay? They've won one game in the conference. Because they're close to all these good teams, we kid ourselves into believing they're good. They're close to these good teams like they're going to be close to these bad teams. They're just not that good a team. They're not that good on either side, and that was certainly exposed in that game. And, yeah, that's the kind of thing. You go from the momentum of feeling good on the bye week. The coach talked about the playoffs 2 weeks ago, and now you look at what a joke it is that you're 3-6, and you're what are you, 6-19? How many games are there? What has this guy done? They've done nothing.
He's won 12 games so far.
Come on.
But he's been close in pretty much all of them, but for the two this year. What? They are a bad football team. They have a decent defense, and that's where I'm going with what was the worst thing about it. The defense took a step back yesterday. I mean, 160 yards rushing they allowed. They allowed more than 5 yards on average per play. The third string running back was running through people, missed assignments, bad communication, guys trying to, go rogue, Pernell McPhee. I was going to make a play, but I didn't tell anyone else what I was doing. Next thing they're popping you for a big play. The penalties were terrible. Just the you're coming out of the bye week and you look like you just got
Christian Mukamara made a terrible play.
Yeah.
Kyle Fuller, forget the payday. Son,
yeah,
that was awful.
Yeah, he did. Look, you allowed the Packers 8-17 on 3rd-4th down conversions, and so whenever they need to make a play, there was a play to be made, and you took advantage of the defense. So, Detroit let Cleveland hang around for a while, but found a way to win that game. So maybe Detroit, that's a perfect formula for the Detroit coaching staff. We played bad and we still won. So this week, maybe they get more serious about their practices. And here come the Bears, and Detroit's going to show you exactly where you belong. You're going to be in the basement of the division again, okay? Fourth consecutive season. We consider laugh at the Browns and laugh at the 49ers who found a way to beat, Ben McAdoo's Giants. So we can laugh at all these other teams. The Bears barely...
It's hard to lose a division four consecutive years.
I mean, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What's the point of the exercise? So, yeah. And now they're just a bad football team, and you better find a way to keep them motivated because don't tell me about how easy the schedule is and all that because everyone else is looking at the Bears on the schedule saying, hey, that's going to be an easy week for us.
Yep. Season absolutely ruined. The swing of a game that you should have won going to 4-5, starting out the second half of your season with a victory, to now 3-6, and we're back to a dumpster fire. That's where we're at. I kept saying it last week, and it was just funny to me. The longer we went without seeing Bears football, the better they got in many fans' mind. You got the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. They lost their top two running backs in the first half. They are coming off three straight losses, scoring 10, 17.
They played on Monday.
17.
You had
short
2 weeks.
You have the top 10 defense. You're at home. It's raining. What is not set up for a Bears victory? Everything was going in your favor. How you would draw it up. And they couldn't pull out a win.
15 carries for Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
And two for Tariq Cohen. But, I mean, boy.
Hey, when there is change here, when there's change, what's McCaskey talk about? Can't beat the Packers. That's why we had to change. John Fox is 1-5 against the Packers. Couldn't beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, and they have looked horrible. So that's the worst part.
The worst part to me is that, yes, they had the bye week, and Joe, that's a great point. Everybody remembered them being better than we actually saw them being, and everybody all week long crapping all over the Packers. They can't score. This quarterback stinks. They got injuries up and down. The Bears are going to run them out of Soldier Field. Finally, this is the chance. And everybody had the hope that this was finally going to be it. And Molly, this is an old soccer cliche. It's the hope that kills you eventually at the end. And that's kind of what it was yesterday. You kind of were filled with this numbness watching that game where you were helpless to do anything. And the team was helpless to do anything. The coaches were helpless. You felt like you were just tied up in a straitjacket getting slapped in the face over and over again.
John Fox couldn't even work the toggle on his headset.
He shouldn't have shaved the beard. That was the problem.
He's sitting there fighting with that remote toggle thing, you know, like, who am I talking to? Who's got the replay?
This was about as an abrupt of a season ruiner in the middle of November here as I've seen in quite some time. It's a gut punch.
I don't know if it was a season ruiner. The season was already ruined when they didn't start the rookie quarterback from day one, and they gave the kind of money they gave to a Mike Glennon to start the year off. I'm happy that Trubisky's playing. I want to find out if he's going to learn anything from this, though. Anytime you lose to the Packers, especially when they don't have Aaron Rodgers. But see, unfortunately, what I think would have happened, had they pulled that game out, well, you know, they beat the Packers, but it wasn't against Aaron Rodgers, so it really doesn't count. I mean, these glass half empty people. My weekend was ruined the night before down in South Beach.
Yeah, what's that about?
Boy, oh my god.
You talking about not being ready.
I mean, you want to talk about the number of carries and getting away from the run and not doing what got you there the first but anyway. Ugh.
John Fox said that was Mitch Trubisky's best start. What grade would you give the quarterback?
Okay, you know, I get the love and the pretty boy assassin, you know, the pretty shiny thing. And I get 97 rating, efficient. They have no confidence in the guy. I mean, 3rd and 10 with a little over 4 minutes to go. And maybe because Benny Cunningham almost had a touchdown on a screen pass. You went back to that well. You throw a 4-yard pass to Kendall Wright instead of going downfield when you have to, you know, you have to get it in the end zone to give yourself a chance. The play calling, you know, if he's all that, then someone's doing him a huge disservice by not treating him like a big boy quarterback. You know, if you want to give him a B, fine. C+, I'll give him a C. You want to give him a plus on it, I can't argue with it. But, you know, if that's his best to this point, then we got to see a hell of a lot more to validate what you gave up for the guy. And I get it's early, but, you know, he held onto the ball too long. The offensive line didn't do him any favors. He didn't do the offensive line any favors. So, you know, he was passable, but barely. I mean, I'm not going to give anyone a real good grade on this one, and he's in that group too. A C is fine by me.
Yeah, the numbers look good by the end of the day, Brian, and I think that you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of growth that you need from the quarterback. He was, completed 21 of 35, but he was also sacked 5 times. So that's, 40 plays there, 40 passing plays against their 17 runs. That's bad play calling. Those are bad totals. The problem was, you know, a couple of problems. They really missed a tight end that could block. The running back, every time he got outside, he got tackled for a loss, and that kind of got them away from the running game early. And, you know, Mitchell Trubisky had some success throwing the ball. So I guess that's why they wanted to do that. The sacks are just – you can't take a sack. I mean, you got to throw the ball away. You got to just – you can't be operating on third and 14, third and 12, third and – you just can't do it. They just aren't good enough to be in that sort of a deficit. So – I think maybe one of them wasn't holding the ball too long, but pretty much the rest of them were. They obviously were pressuring the kid, and they went after him. I don't think it was a great performance, but I think we see flashes from him, and that's encouraging. But he's really not a pocket passer yet. They're working on it, and those people that wanted to see the quarterback do okay, regardless of whether the team won or lost, they ought to rethink that, because that's what you saw. You saw the quarterback do okay, but unfortunately that left them with no chance to win.
It was probably his best game, 60% complete. As Mully said, took some sacks he shouldn't have. Didn't expect him to have 35 pass attempts. That really told you what kind of position the Bears were in all day.
It's really 40 since he got sacked five times.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, he called 40 passes. Wow.
17 runs.
Note. no turnovers.
How's your balance?
But it was a prime matchup. We like to laugh at this Green Bay defense, and they've actually played better over the past few weeks. Conditions weren't great, but you're in Chicago. Half the season, conditions are probably going to be poor for you, so he's going to have to learn how to deal with it. Should have put up 23 points on the board. Coaching error there. I'll give him a B-.
Hard for me to go above C+. You know, the numbers look fine on the surface, but you watch the game and you still see those flashes. But after a while, and I know he's not in the best situation with the coaching staff and the players around him, but after a while, you're going to have to see more than flashes here as we progress through the season. So it's good that he didn't turn the ball over. It's bad that he took so many sacks. It's good that they're letting him throw the ball more than he was a few weeks ago, but it's bad that he can't do a little bit more against the 20th ranked pass defense in the NFL. So I think a C+ is fairly generous and fair.
Generous is the right word. It's a C at best. What about, and I'm asking you guys, the communication issue. Now, is that, I want to blame the coaches. I don't want these guys around anymore. I don't, except maybe the guys on defense. And that's right now after that performance, a maybe. I would think that a little bit of the, you got to get these guys motivated, right? I mean, what the heck is going on? But my question is, Trubisky in that game against Tennessee, all the way back, the preseason important game number three, right? There were all those communication issues, couldn't get the team out of the huddle, couldn't get the team lined up, couldn't, Cutler used to always make the faces like the plays weren't coming in fast enough. So what's going on there? Is that Mitchell? Is that the sideline? Is that upstairs? Like, where is that? So that's what I'm worried about from a growth standpoint. I still don't feel like he has command once the team is set at the line of scrimmage. He's not exactly sure what he's supposed to be doing. So that's disappointing. Mully, you mentioned it a couple times now. The sacks, you can't, those were inexcusable. At the end of the day, they beat themselves. Mitchell didn't help with the time at the line of scrimmage, taking the sacks, the botched replay, all the penalties.
Pre-snap penalties.
All the penalties.
And Fox makes a point. They jumped offside twice, and then they converted. And he made that point. And the we did convert the one. Right. They turned down penalties.
The fourth play.
Go take a look at the play-by-play.
Oh, yeah, the eight penalties is more like
12 or 13. They had two penalties on one play,
on the
but it was a
play,
minus three run.
On the fourth play.
On the fourth play of the game, they had
consecutive
two
consecutive penalty. Oh, boy, here we go.
Who do you blame for the Bears' botched replay challenge?
Oh, well, it takes a village to mess up a replay. That was just pathetic. It ultimately comes down to Fox, right? I mean, ultimately, it's him and the system that he set up. And for whatever reason, they don't have one guy that understands what the hell he's looking at, able to tell them, go, no, yes, no. It's really not that difficult. And I know I haven't talked to Fox about it, but I know Lovie Smith's philosophy back in the day was that you challenged any game-turning play. If there was a fumble down on the 2-yard line and you, instead of going in with the ball, they were coming out with the ball, you challenged it. No matter what, if it was a game-changing play, you challenged it. That was the philosophy. Only what you deemed to be game-changing plays, which is why this doesn't make any sense. That was not a game-changing play. That was a delaying of a touchdown. I mean, obviously, you got no faith in your team. Otherwise, you don't challenge. You take the ball on the 3. You just converted a big play, and you're laughing, and you're going in. But guess what? You know, Kyle Long standing over there, and, you know, Whitehair's out of position. And, boy, Hieronis Grassou.
Everyone jumped because he didn't snap the ball.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. And then he turns around, and he does like one of those shrugs. Like, what were you guys thinking? Like, no. When everybody knows and you don't, it's probably on you.
Was that on 2? I thought it was 3. Okay.
But I think that is the problem here is that it wasn't to me a real game changing play, and so the idea of challenging that to try to get a touchdown rather than earn one from the 2-yard line tells you a lot about where this team is at. So from that standpoint, the very fact that you're willing to challenge that play goes to Fox.
Yeah, and to follow Lovey's theory, if they had ruled that Cunningham had lost the ball,
then you challenge it,
right?
Then you
challenge. Right, you don't challenge it for picking up 2 yards or hoping that he got in.
And you know what the great irony of that is? The Bears did not lose a timeout.
I know.
Because they were right.
Technically he wasn't out of bounds. Right, yeah, because that's what they challenged. Whoever's upstairs, and I guess I'll give Fox credit for saying, well, ultimately it's me, I'm not going to point fingers. If you don't have someone upstairs who really knows the rules if that's part of their game day responsibilities, and if it's their only responsibility, shame on everyone. But if that is something that they have to do and have eyes and ears and be ready to go at any moment's notice, you better have complete faith and trust in that guy. Why did you rush? Why did you rush to throw that challenge? Because Benny Cunningham came over and told you that I scored, coach. You didn't have to rush. You could have given whomever upstairs a chance to watch what we were watching at home and give him 4 or 5 times.
The problem is Benny Cunningham did come over,
right.
Did tell him he scored.
And so right immediately.
If you take his word for that, that's on you too.
Right.
Like you're not allowed to just listen to that. Tom Coughlin had like one of the highest success rates when he was with the Giants, and he would be on the headset. They had people in the booth, but there was one guy in particular that had a really good eye for it. And Tom Coughlin would be, give me something, give me something, give me something. I need to know, what are you seeing? Does anyone have anything they saw? And that's how they made the decision. He had like a 90% strike ratio. And it was everybody involved but one guy that was good at it.
Yeah, Jim Miller mentioned in the postgame how it was done with Bill Belichick too. And, and that's, that's how it's done. You're right. It took a number of people, and if you have full faith, you're a player's coach, and so the player says I score. When the player says he didn't score, that'll be a first. That'll be the headline. So, but ultimately, it's whichever coach upstairs has that game day responsibility. I guess we won't find out because John Fox, rightfully so, being the head coach, he was the guy who threw the flag. He was the guy who tried to explain it away, and somehow that's how the game goes, as he said. What?
The tweet of the day yesterday goes to Barstool Big Cat. He had this replay, and then over the John Fox, as his reaction was the Larry David music. It was just too perfect. Oh, you have to. It ends with John Fox. It's incompetence. This is Trestman stuff. This is the stuff you tried to get away from. We don't know the person. But it ends with John Fox because he's responsible for whoever is making that call, for whoever's in his ear.
Yeah, I mean, who else do you blame here? It's all about the guy who's getting paid the highest salary, who makes all the decisions on the field, who organizes the game plan and sees everything over during the week.
And hires those coaches.
Exactly, and he hires the staff that tells him what they saw in the replay. And it all comes down to the one guy. And Joe, like you were saying, just the face of John Fox when he realized that he challenged his own team
and then
a first and goal.
He starts screaming at the side judge like, yo, what? You weren't supposed to look at that.
It was the face of a man who realized that he's going to be out of a job, I think, at the end of the season and the gross realization of everything he's wrought.
Really, couldn't you just sit back with $5 million for
a year? Seriously, how tough is it for a guy his age collecting checks for another year and a half?
It never came up. They never thought that was a fumble.
And for him to say that,
yeah,
that wasn't even a consideration.
That was unbelievably damning.
That's the embarrassment. That it was never. That's it. That was my answer. It's that it was never a consideration. It's the whole, the whatever the process is to get him to throw that flag. Everybody involved in that, and obviously we don't know, so it's going to be John Fox to answer the question. I mean, is Benny Cunningham such a good guy that John Fox is just so desperate to get him a touchdown? And again, then that's John Fox's fault, as you pointed out, Mully, right? You know, if you're trying to be a player's coach, and Brian, you mentioned it, you know, when's the last time the player came? Oh, no, I didn't score. Nope, I was out.
And
nope,
how many times have you seen the coach, right? You know, drop the flag right when they're about to snap the next play? Because right, they've looked at it six, 7 times, right?
Yeah. Right.
Now, you don't have to do it in the first 10 seconds. But you don't.
I don't want to defend him, but just imagine, okay? Just imagine had they not thrown the flag, and then they get stopped 3 plays in a row, or Trubisky throws an interception, or Connor Barf, who was actually okay yesterday, gets a field goal blocked or missed. We would have all said, why didn't he challenge it? Because we would have never saw the replay more than once. It wouldn't have been over and 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 over again that he lost the ball. So then we said, it's the Packers. You got to take every point you can get when you can get it.
When I was a freshman in high school, we had a class in Father Catamartre's religion class. We had a little thing on how to make a decision. I think about it all the time. It's real simple. It's like a 3-step process. Know what you want. So what is it that you actually want here? How do you go about getting it? What would it take for you to get what you want? And then the third part is the big one. Understand the consequences. What is it that – what are the consequences? So there was nobody there that said – well, you know, we get a touchdown. Yeah, there's nothing, no way to lose. No one thought, well, what could go wrong with this? That's one of the questions you have to ask yourself. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm about to do this, but what could possibly, nothing could go wrong. Let's go. No, we lose the ball and they're on the 25. It's a big deal. And then we lose the game by 7. That's a huge, huge consequence.
And then Corrente's comments after the game, like, yeah, that was not going to be reviewed.
But that wasn't going to be reviewed.
No,
of course it's not, because it's not a scoring play.
Yeah. Right. If they ruled that he touched the pylon.
And then how about Mike McCarthy after the game saying, no, we weren't going to review it. We weren't going to challenge it because when you're on the road, you don't get to see 10. They don't see something in the stadium and show it to you 10 times, and then you get to throw a flag. Mike McCarthy was not challenging that. John Fox was the only guy who challenged it.
But he knew right away when he saw that replay.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Did Dontrell Inman prove that he's already the Bears' best wide receiver?
Well, I mean, he had a really good day. And, you know, it was great to see him running free and, eight receptions? 8 targets, 6 receptions, 88 yards? Yeah, it's not tough shooting at the top of that list, all right? And, you know, Josh Bellamy caught a couple passes. Well, good bully for him, but he dropped a few because that's what Josh does. Yeah, Dontrell Inman gives you a little hope that at least you have a serviceable wide receiver. But the hope was that you went out and got a serviceable wide receiver because you were getting close to 500 and maybe actually making a run for the division, and that didn't work out yesterday. So now he's just the top guy among a group of just guys.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's a very damning question, this. When they made the trade for the 5th wide receiver in San Francisco – excuse me, in San Diego, he was immediately their number one guy, okay? Mm. He was their best receiver when they made the deal, which is, what, a conditional 7th-round draft pick? That you're talking about the worst receiver, the last guy on the roster, one place. One man's trash is another man's treasure. And, yeah, he's a competent receiver. I don't know how good he is, but he could catch the ball. I think he had one drop on the day. Or one that he, you know, I don't know if you technically call it a drop, but one I thought he could have caught that he didn't catch. But yes, I would say yes, he is indeed a competent NFL receiver, which makes him the best guy among that group of
it was nice that he,
subpar players.
You know, it was nice we heard last week that he was coming in early and meeting with Dal Logans and, you know, get there 6:30, 7 o'clock every morning. And by luck, like with Chris Spielman, and he had dinner with Mitch Trubisky 3 times over the bye. I like what Chris Spielman said, okay, but you should do that. That's your job. You're a professional. You should put in as much time as you need to put in.
What was his obsession with time? What he was asking the crowd, what time is it?
Yeah, it's Dontrell time.
His wrist stopped working.
Yeah.
The 5th receiver on a mediocre offense.
a receiving group that was okay with the Chargers. Keenan Allen's a good player, but he's had a lot of health issues over the last couple of years. It's a real indictment on Ryan Pace. And I don't want to hear about injuries. Cam Meredith, Kevin White was a, I have no idea walking into the season. Cam Meredith, what, top 50, top 75 receiver in the league? Maybe I'm taking away a little bit of credit there, but I don't think we've seen enough yet from Cam Meredith to know exactly what he is. Just on a random NFL Sunday yesterday, Robert Woods, 171 yards and two touchdowns. Sterling Shepard with no Odell Beckham with Eli on the back end of his career, 142 yards and a score.
Catch. Didn't he make an Odell Beckham style catch?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Deontay Thompson didn't have a day, did he? I saw that.
The Bills didn't do anything.
Buffalo
yesterday.
Was challenged for points, so yeah, we're not going to get those calls and texts today.
Adam Thielen with Case Keenum. He had another great day. It's three drafts, 3 years of free agency. And they have absolutely nothing at the position. It really tells you something. Chargers, please take this guy. We'll take anything. Give us a seventh rounder. Okay, we'll take him. He's our best guy.
He's the best guy. He looks like a professional wide receiver, which is more than you can say for a lot of them. And Joe, that's a really good point about Ryan Pace. People don't talk about, they talk about the injuries to the wide receiving core, but they don't talk about the fact that you see these no-name guys popping up all around the league. Late-round picks, undrafted free agents, anybody can go out there seemingly on a week-to-week basis and have 100 yards, and you don't see anybody being able to do it on the Bears. So that's a big-time flaw on Ryan Pace's resume for sure. And Dontrell Inman, 8 targets, 6 catches. Yeah, he's the best one they got.
They got Kevin White coming back next year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know how you could answer this any other way. I mean, it's Y-E-S.
Who are your top 4 teams in college football?
Boy, I tell you what, that the Final Four took a beating, and I'm sure it won't last, but Wisconsin's in there. I would say it's Alabama leading the charge. I think Clemson might be the best team in college football if everything is, all's going well and right. And I think when you look at the entirety of their team, so I'll take Clemson. And I got Wisconsin. I got Alabama, Wisconsin, Clemson. I guess Miami, they look pretty good. They're going to move up in the rankings after pounding the Irish. I don't know how good they are. I kept thinking they were going to lose the week before, and then Notre Dame, I didn't think they had a shot there. I thought the Irish would play great defense and run the football, and apparently that wasn't part of the game plan. They wanted to go the other way and play bad defense and throw interceptions. So what are you going to do? I'll take that 4.
I'm going to go with...
It's shifting, though, Brian. It will be fluid.
It's all fluid. It's all fluid. I'm going with Alabama, obviously. I'm going Oklahoma, number 2.
Fair enough.
Miami will be 3 because they knock Notre Dame out of it. But I Miami's done that consecutive weeks at home. You get them. I'm not so sure if they can. They're a fast team, but I'm still not sold on them. I'm not so sure Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, brought their A games, and so I'm not going to give them all the credit in the world. But I will put them 3rd, and then I'll have Clemson number 4 and Wisconsin still on the outside looking in.
You go Alabama 1, I'm going Miami 2. You finally, I've pushed against it. I've felt, I think they're a fraud.
Right.
You got to give them the respect. They're just taking care of business, and they've been pummeling teams, especially with Notre Dame, and then they beat Virginia Tech by a few scores. That was impressive. I'm going Clemson 3. That loss, they didn't have their quarterback. They have about 4 impressive wins on the year, and I'm going with the team with the Heisman Trophy winner right now, Baker Mayfield, at number 4 in Oklahoma. Wisconsin, they will have their chance. But
what has Oklahoma done? Who have they beaten? The Ohio State game doesn't matter.
Oklahoma State?
They're not good
TCU?
Enough.
Boy, they can score, though.
Yeah, I understand. I don't like their defense at all. But I will put them in 4. Wisconsin, there's a path for them. It should be a lot of fun, even though there's just a couple weeks left here. There's a path for Auburn. I think there's a path for Ohio State if they run the table and things fall right for them.
Alabama, number 1, obviously. Miami goes up to number 2 with that performance at the weekend. Clemson might be the most talented team. I'd put them at 3. And then, Wisconsin, they're still undefeated. You could say they haven't played anybody, but they play in the Big Ten. They've beaten everybody in front of them. That's all you can ask. Wisconsin.
You're a genius, Kevin.
Badgers, number 4.
Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Wisconsin. Hey.
Wow. Miami gets no love.
Wow.
Boy, that's just a Notre Dame fan.
That's all that, that is. He's that just is, mad they yeah. won.
He's mad I'm wearing the turnover chain in here. You guys can't see it.
Wow. How many sapphires and how much
one, one more Tom Rinaldi story about that thing.
Yeah.
Okay. One more Tom Rinaldi story about that thing.
Is it, I mean, if that really has that kind of jewelry in it and that, those kind of stones, who paid for that?
Mark Rick's walking away money from Georgia yeah. paid for that.
No, no. It was, what's his name? Devin, what was the guy's name?
Esther?
No.
Funchess.
Who is the guy? Who is the agent that was down in Miami?
Oh boy! Yeah, Hushman. He got some.
The guy that got him on probation.
Yeah,
for 10
yeah.
years.
He was trying to hang around the team.
Yeah, exactly. He paid for it.
Nevin Shapiro.
Yes. Nevin Shapiro. Okay. I couldn't come up with it. It would have been funny. Too bad. All right, there we go. That is the 5 at 5. Back to your Bears drama. 312-644-6767. Where does that rank? Where does that rank in your all-time Bears losses to the Packers?
I actually said when the challenge went the wrong way, or when they won the challenge, but it hurt them, I said, that's Bear.
Oh, boy. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.